American Warrior is on the air.
Good afternoon, Tucson. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. A special Thanksgiving American Warrior. Hey, folks, we are working this weekend, this holiday weekend. I encourage you today, we'll be talking about Thanksgiving, specifically with a focus on our military and those of who have served in our military. So if you have a story to tell, if you just want to call and thank the troops, the men and women of our military, for really, really preserving those freedoms that we enjoy, the ability to gorge ourselves at Thanksgiving, give us a call. The phone lines are open, 751-1041. Now, as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving, particularly with the military theme today. Those who are often separated for their families, and I tell you what, when I think about what I'm thankful for, I think about family. Over the years, my family was often apart. Mom and Dad were missionaries, so very often they'd be serving in a foreign land apart from my brothers and I. I know my oldest brother, Mike, served as the manager for the ASU basketball team. Hey, sorry about that score, Mike. No, not really. But very often they'd be traveling for holiday tournaments, so he'd be apart from our family. My middle brother, John, served our country in the United States Air Force. Very often he was overseas protecting our rights in a foreign land. And, of course, when I was going to college, I served in the U of A band. Very often we'd be on the road for U of A ASU games or other celebrations, so we're often apart. And I tell you what, I'm thankful for the bond of a loving family, a bond so strong that I often felt close even when we were separated by thousands of miles. And I wish that very same feeling and bond for our military families out there this holiday and coming up the Christmas holiday. Now, a little bit of history as we're talking about Thanksgiving. In 1782, on this date, November 30th, 1782, the United States and Britain signed a preliminary peace articles in Paris, recognizing American independence and ending the Revolutionary War. One of the very first Thanksgiving proclamations ever issued were issued by George Washington in 1789, and let me share those words with you today. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite into rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceful and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various flavors which He has been pleased to confer upon us. And also that we may then unite in a most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a protect and guide government of wise, just and constitutional laws discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness to us, and to bless them with good governments, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant upon all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. That was given under George Washington's hand the third day of October in 1789. Now, just to kind of set the tone here, I want to play something for you. Cowboy poet Post Baxter Black shared some of his thoughts on Thanksgiving.
I'm sitting here on my veranda. The heat of the day is dissipating. Shadows are growing longer in the canyon to the south, and the bottom of the clouds are turning pink. The mountains to the east of the valley are glowing purple. Cindy's bustling around in the kitchen. I think I smell teriyaki sauce. My grade schooler's being mauled by cow dog puppies. The horses are fed, the cows are fat, the quail are chuckling, and the dusk is waiting in the wings. It's times like this I remember my New Year's resolution. to stop once a day and remind myself that this is as good as it gets. But as that thought sinks in, I become fully aware of how many have given so much so I could be right here. Right here for me is to be an American, lucky enough to be born in a country where I am free to worship God, free to better myself to be the best I am able, lucky enough to be born in a time when the knowledge of humankind is expanding exponentially, lucky to be born while prejudices are fading, poverty is constantly having to be redefined, and America's light continues to shine as a ray of hope for the less fortunate worldwide. But the reality of the debt I owe comes home to roost every day in the papers when I read the names of those soldiers killed in the war on terror. Every one of them is directly responsible for the freedom I enjoy. They are each one part of a long line of Americans from all walks of life.
There you have it, folks. Cowboy poet Baxter Black. And I tell you what, one other thing I'm thankful for, I'm thankful to our listeners who support the show. We're going to go to James. James is calling to share his thoughts. James, what have you got to tell us today?
Yeah, how you doing, Ben?
I'm just terrific. How was your holiday?
Oh, it was fantastic. Yours?
Very good. Very relaxing. Spent with some friends and a little bit of family.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Ben, I just wanted to call in today and just say thank you for what you do. My name is James Arthur Smith. I'm retired from the Air Force.
Thank you for your service, James.
Oh, thank you, sir. And I retired on 1 November 1992, and I really enjoy your program. And I was wondering if you'd do me a favor and pass on my blessings to Mr. Sinise for his kind words.
Well, you know, Jay, I don't talk to him on a regular basis, but I will certainly send him a note.
Yeah, because that means a lot to me.
Well, thank you. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you calling and sharing that with us, and I'm glad that hopefully you spend some time with their families, and I hope that you keep in your thoughts those men and women of our military who are separated this holiday. Part of the reason I do this show is because I think folks need to remember, and they need to hear those stories and think about folks like you and your comrades who've protected everything that we're able to enjoy these holidays.
Oh, thank you for your kind words, sir.
James, thanks for your call.
So All right.
There you go, folks. Listen, a little bit kind of moving on into history, too. Moving forward to the Civil War. In the fall of 1863, President Abraham Lincoln had very little to be thankful for. The previous July, the Battle of Gettysburg had resulted in 51,000 casualties, nearly 8,000 of those dead. Up north in New York and other northern cities, people were engaged in bloody riots spurred by the draft and the Emancipation Proclamation. And as you probably know, it had been just a year before that the president and Mary had lost their 11-year-old son, Willie, who had died. But nonetheless, he issued a proclamation that recommended and recognized what we are thankful for this Thanksgiving. I'll read that to you as soon as we come back from the break. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia, here on American Warrior. We're celebrating Thanksgiving, and the men and women who have preserved those rights for us will be right back, talking more about some presidential proclamations, and joined by Ellen Jimenez, the chairman of the Military Affairs Committee, will be sharing her thoughts about the military and how they're spending their Thanksgiving this year. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Now, back to the American Warrior.
Welcome back, folks. We're talking about Thanksgiving, and in particular, Thanksgiving for our troops and the sacrifices their families make. They're separated during the holidays. They're on the front lines. Maybe eating an MRE might have been their only meal for Thanksgiving. But before the break, I talked about, it's interesting, as you know, I love history, and I believe there's much to be learned looking back and reflecting on history. And as I looked at the different proclamations made by the presidents of the United States, the commander-in-chief, particularly during times of war, it is fascinating to see how much those themes are carried over and how, despite over 200 years, not much has changed. As I mentioned, in the midst of the Civil War, certainly President Lincoln didn't have a whole lot to be thankful for. The folks down south, And the Confederacy had it probably worse in the town of Petersburg, Virginia. They had no turkey. They were surrounded and besieged by General Grant's armies, and they were lucky to eat it all. Interestingly enough, local flocks of pigeons had all but mysteriously disappeared. And sort of a morbid form of entertainment, starvation parties became the norm in that once cosmopolitan town. President Lincoln, October 3rd, 1863, issued this proclamation. By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. The year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are so extraordinary in nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart, which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of a civil war, unequaled magnitude and severity, which has sometimes seemed to foreign states to invite and to provoke their aggression, peace has been preserved with all nations, order has been maintained, the laws have been respected and obeyed, and harmony has prevailed everywhere except in the theater of military conflict, while that theater has been greatly contracted by the advancing armies and navies of the Union. Needful diversions of wealth and of strength from the fields of peaceful industry to the national defense have not arrested the plow, the shuttle, or the ship. The axe has enlarged the borders of our settlements, and the mines, as well of iron and coal as of the precious metals, have yielded even more abundantly than heretofore. Population has steadily increased, notwithstanding the waste that has been made in the camp, the siege, and the battlefield. And the country, rejoicing in the consciousness of augmented strength and vigor, is permitted to expect continuous of years of large increase of freedom. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that we should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I here, therefore, invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also, with humble penitence for our national perseverance and disobedience, commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently employ the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. Now, it wasn't until about a year later that those words really took effect. It's very interesting that several local groups, civilian groups, civic support groups, including the head of the Union Club Leagues, Theodore Roosevelt's father, led an effort to provide a proper Thanksgiving meal to the folks still fighting in the Civil War. It included turkey, mince pies. Four steamers sailed out of New York laden with 400,000 pounds of ham, canned peaches, apples, and cakes, and turkeys with all the trimmings. They arrived at Ulysses Grant's headquarters in City Point, Virginia, and one of the busiest ports in the world. And just a wonderful quote here that I think symbolizes what we're talking about here today. The Thanksgiving delivery was an unprecedented effort, a huge fundraising drive. One soldier said, "It isn't the turkey, but the idea we care for." So with that, we'd like to go to our next guest, Ellen Jimenez, who has certainly seen and celebrated Thanksgiving with our troops both here and recognize what they're doing overseas. Well, Ellen, welcome to American Warrior.
Hi, Ben. Thanks so much. Thanks for all that you do and all the recognition that you do give our guys.
Well, Ellen, as you know, you probably feel the same way I do as a couple of folks who never served. I think it's our duty, but it's also an honor to support those who do.
Absolutely. I think that we have an avenue that we can really honestly speak to these guys from the community, from our hearts, from their hearts, and vice versa.
Now, Ellen, we talked about how early on after the Civil War, various civic groups really led a humongous effort to provide a Thanksgiving meal to the troops. What has changed? What have you seen out there this season with our folks at Davis-Monthan or maybe some of the groups that are deployed?
You know what? I haven't seen a whole lot change. What they were doing then, which is absolutely incredible, our community, Tucson, actually did this year. Our young airmen who live in the dormitories here at Davis-Monthan, many of them, it's their first Thanksgiving away from home. They're 18 years old and whatnot. Mm-hmm. There was a need that came to our attention that they did not have. They like they didn't have a homemade meal for these guys. And on Tuesday, through a call out to the community, we received, 15 turkeys, sides to include cranberry sauce, veggies, rolls, stuffing, mashed potatoes, desserts, sheet cakes, plates, everything. And it came all from our business community and local families here in Tucson, and they jumped on it. It was amazing. And we served our young airmen a nice homemade Thanksgiving. Tuesday.
I wish I could have been there, Ellen, because I'm just kind of picturing an 18-year-old away from home for the first time and just kind of the look on their face when they showed up to that kind of servings.
Oh, they were just amazing. We had a couple, I'm going to say more than a couple, that came by for thirds, some fourths, and then they were able to take some to go. One of our organizations in town, Skull, they, on their own, raised $900. So even with that money, we're able to get them side gifts. We were able to buy them to-go containers so they can put these items in their microwave. They were just absolutely adorable. In a container, it's not going to blow up. The gratitude that they expressed, it was heartwarming. And like I kept telling them, it's them. We're thanking them, and we appreciate them.
Well, it is a nationwide effort, and I want to emphasize, Ellen, you've seen this as well, is some of the airmen there at the base or maybe down at Fort Huachuca or the reservists here in town, they're probably grateful for what we provide for them, but very often they're also going out in the community. I'm willing to bet there are several of our military down there serving the homeless with the Salvation Army and just taking care of others, showing their gratitude by helping others.
Absolutely. I talked to a family on Thanksgiving who was serving there at the dining hall. They had just come straight to the base from their church where they were serving Thanksgiving to our local community. And then after that, they were heading straight to a homeless shelter to, again, do the same thing.
Wow.
So they do this as a family, and they give so much on their own. They're still continuously, even on this one day that they could be spending as a family at home, they're out in the community serving to those who can't be in home in their own eating.
You know, it's interesting reflecting back on history and particularly focusing on our nation, you know, Thanksgiving in our nation at war. It's kind of interesting to me to see what has changed and what hasn't. This Thanksgiving in our current history, if we will, We're blessed with still to have plenty. It wasn't like in previous wars, you know, the Civil War, I mentioned that before. During the First World War, basically there was a nationwide campaign to support the men fighting that first war by eating less wheat, fat, sugars. I mean, folks were going without in order to protect the troops. I've got here the menu at Camp Wadsworth in 1918. They had celery, pickles, olives, roast turkey with dressing, cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes, salted wafers with cheese, bread and butter, pumpkin pie, fruit cake, ice cream, and coffee. So even those times, always supporting the troops.
I love it. I love that they include the butter and the coffee. I mean, those are important.
Well, and overseas, yeah, it's not real easy to get butter across that big ocean. I mean, we didn't have the bombers we had today. Got a little bit better. World War II in Italy, 1944. While the Italians and the Germans were having a rough time, the U.S. troops, it came right in the middle of the campaign. British forces were living off of dehydrated meat, potatoes, carrots, and expired biscuits, while the Americans ate roast turkey, fresh vegetables, fresh white bread. Unlike any other meal they'd had since the war began.
Wow. Sounds almost like the MREs that many did get to eat this year.
If you go on the Internet and look at some of the pictures, that's one thing I love also about the military this time of year, the number of leaders and commanders. And I'll tell a little story shared by a sergeant later on in the show, but how they really step up and go out and support their troops. And, you know, you think about the military as a family, but you really see it this time of year during the holidays, where particularly, like you said, those single airmen who don't have any family in town, they really recognize the family that's about them, including civic leaders like yourself and the members of the Military Affairs Committee.
Oh, thanks, Ben. And on that, too, something to celebrate. I did at the dining hall on Thanksgiving, I was asking about the number of folks that they were serving. Generally, it can go up to 800, 900. This year, I think they had about 400.
Hmm.
A majority of them being veterans. So these guys are still giving back to our veterans, which is wonderful. And on the side note, that means all of those airmen, they had a place to go. They had a family that opened their homes to them, or again, their supervisors, or their commanders, or their shirts.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing.
That's a wonderful thing. And, Alan, if folks want to get involved with the MAC and support our troops, we do. You know, it's just Thanksgiving. We've got quite a holiday season coming up. What can they do? How can they contact you?
Absolutely. Reach out. Reach out to the chamber. Ask for Shirley, and she will get that contact info to you. Or Ben, yourself, you have my contact info. We would love to have more out. We have a lot of folks that are deploying in the spring. So we are in the process, the Military Affairs Committee is teaming up with one of the groups to give them a farewell movie night
mm-hmm.
on the base. And we're looking for volunteers and items again. We
Great.
Would love to see everybody
Great.
Jump in like they did this week.
Thank you, Ellen. Thank you for what you do. Folks, we're about to take a break. Let me share one thought with you, a poem by Father Dennis O'Brien, U.S. Marine Corps. It's the soldier, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of press. It's the soldier, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It's the soldier, not the campus organizer, who has given us the freedom to demonstrate. It's the soldier, not the lawyer, who has given us the right to a fair trial. It's the soldier who salutes the flag, serves under the flag, and whose coffin is draped by the flag, who gives the protester the right to burn the flag. We'll be right back.
Expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Now, back to the American Warrior.
Welcome back, folks. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia, here on American Warrior. I encourage you to call and share your thoughts on Thanksgiving, particularly if you're a veteran and you had a special Thanksgiving while you're overseas. I'd love you to share those memories with our fellow listeners and our guests. You know, moving on to World War II, I talked with the chairman of the Military Affairs Committee, Ellen Jimenez, about some of the meals that some of our troops celebrated or had in the Second World War. You know, sometimes they might have just been in a foxhole eating a tin of biscuits, but they were still took the time out, I think, I hope, to pause. Second World War, President Franklin D. Roosevelt, November 11th, 1943. God help us. God has helped make this a great year of march towards worldwide liberty. In brotherhood with warriors of other United Nations, our gallant men have won victories, have freed our homes from fear, have made tyranny tremble, and have laid the foundation for freedom of life in a world which will be free. Our forges and hearths and mills have wrought well, and our weapons have not failed. Our farmers, victory gardeners, and crop volunteers have gathered and stored a heavy harvest in the barns and bins and cellars. Our total food production for the year is the greatest in the annals of our country. For all these things, we are devoutly thankful, knowing also that so great mercies exact from us the greatest measure of sacrifice and service. Now, therefore, I, Franklin D. Roosevelt, President of the United States of America, do hereby designate Thursday, November 25, 1943, as a day for expressing our thanks to God for his blessings. November having been set aside as Food Fights for Freedom Month, it is fitting that Thanksgiving Day be made the culmination of the observance of the month by a high resolve on the part of all to produce and save food, and to share and play square with food. May we on Thanksgiving Day and on every day express our gratitude and zealously devote ourselves to our duties as individuals and as a nation. May each of us dedicate his utmost efforts to speeding the victory which will bring new opportunities for peace and brotherhood among men. In witness whereof, I hereon set my hand and cause a seal of the United States of America to be fixed. Folks, when we talk about what we're grateful for, I tell you what, I'm also grateful for friends. So often, I confess, I overlook them, I don't appreciate them, but they're always there for me. Now, this past Thanksgiving, Laura and I were able to spend some time with one of them, Andy Michelle and his family. No stranger to spending the holidays away from his family. And, you know, I asked Andy a question. I said, hey, you know, is the rescue group going to have a holiday party coming up this year? And he said, no, you know, so many of them are deployed right now, we might just have something for the spouses. So, Andy, Michelle, welcome to American Warrior, and thanks so much for Thursday. It was fun. And just kind of share your thoughts with us, Andy. How often have you been deployed and away from your family on Thanksgiving?
Good afternoon, Ben, and thanks for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity. You know, I've been away from family many times, and not always on Thanksgiving, but, you know, when you're away for a holiday, no matter which holiday it is, it's always a kind of lonely time, even though you're there with your fellow soldiers or sailors or airmen or whoever you happen to be there with. It's always amazing to see the support that comes from home and the well wishes and the good nature that come across the miles, because that's what really kind of brings it back. That's what really makes it an amazing experience, to know that you're being supported in that way. And I mean, I just know that just being a person, not necessarily being a soldier, but being a person, it's hard to bridge the gap of geography and time, mm-hmm. With friendships and relationships. With being a soldier, you're sent away overseas to places most people have not heard of, and try to figure out how you express what's going on in that environment to the people back home, but you realize that the important thing is just knowing that the family's there, being taken care of by other people in the community, and that you're able to do the job that everybody signs up to do in that circumstance. And I think the best thing about being at home for the holidays is realizing that you can just see your friends when you want to, that you can just see your family when you want to. You can so easily forget to reach out.
Mm-hmm.
And Thanksgiving is one of those times when you are able to reach out and remember all the things that are amazing about our lifestyle here in the United States and amazing about the community that we're a part of. Well, I'm just thankful for that.
Well, I tell you, Andy, Laura and I are very grateful to have been invited to your home to meet, really, I think apart from you and your family, the rest of the folks were strangers, but they didn't remain so very long. And I tell you, it makes me think in particular last Christmas when we came out to your rescue group for the holiday party. The rescue group in particular, there is such a strong bond there and support that's unique. Now, you have served both in the Navy and the Air Force. Can you compare that or contrast it to what, if there's any distinction there between the two?
You know, I think the experience, generally speaking, is the same. The significant difference, Ben, comes in the communities that are active duty and the communities that are reserve. In the active duty community, generally speaking, whatever unit you're with, everybody has kind of the same circle of people that they spend time with, and they have the same network of support. In the reserve unit, people are doing very different things most of the time. It's only occasionally that they get together to train. So there aren't necessarily the same deep bonds of family and friendship between the unit members that you might find on the active duty side. It's a challenge, and it is something that you wrestle with, being the servant of two masters, so to speak. You know, you have a civilian life, you're trying to do your civilian job, but you also are trying to stay trained and be ready to go when you need to, when the nation needs you. And the price you pay for having those two masters is you need maybe to look a little bit harder for the resources, and sometimes they're not as readily available to folks in the reserve as you would hope that they would be.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not for lack of trying. It's just sort of like a fact of the dynamic. It's a circumstance that comes about because everybody, they've got two lives that they're trying to lead. As opposed to an active duty service member who's got one life they're trying to lead, and everybody's kind of living that same life. So as far as comparing and contrasting Air Force to Navy, I would say that the experience has been very similar, because we're all service members. We're all brothers and sisters in arms, and that unity and that brotherhood and bond is there.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, the change that I've seen that's most significant is the difference in the support structure between the active duty and the reserves, just simply because of the dynamic of the relationships and the way that we network.
Now, Andy, you're a leader, you're an officer, always looking out for your troops. I want to share something with you and then just get your comment on it briefly before the break. This is written by R.U. Robb. He says, one of the things I truly miss about the military is how they celebrate the holiday season. It really didn't matter if I was with my biological father or with my Army brothers and sisters. One way or another, we're going to spend it as a family. I fondly look back at Thanksgiving in particular as some of the greatest family experiences and celebrations I have participated in. I vividly remember seeing the officers and senior NCOs in their dress blues, all of their ribbons and awards neatly aligned, wearing the unpopular but fitting bus driver's hat, and having the confident appearance of a leader. each one greeting every soldier and family member as if they were aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, with a handshake and a smile, for they knew, for most of their soldiers there, they were the only family they had to celebrate the holiday with. These leaders cherished this thought of their own pseudo-family as everyone slowly made their way down the serving line. As my career in the Army progressed, I found myself in the same position as NCOs I watched as a child. It was my turn to don my blues, ensure that every detail was exact, and to stand proud and greet everyone with a smile as they passed before me. As a leader, I could feel the gratitude of each soldier and family member as I looked and thanked them for coming while they enjoyed the multitude of deliciousness. I had the humble opportunity to serve them. It was Thanksgiving that I set aside my mantra of the hard-charging NCO who's primarily responsible was to make my boys were ready for war, to the loving parent, making sure they knew just how much I cared for them and wanted to make sure they had what they needed as far as emotional support. Those days are long gone, but the memories are still there and very strong. For some reason, I still have my blues put together, hanging neatly in the closet. Enjoy your Thanksgiving, my comrades. It will not last forever. What do you think about that, Andy?
Well, you know, I think that captures very nicely the effort that the group or the unit or the squadron or the battalion together that they make in order to try to bring everybody together, whether it's on, you know, safe at home in the continental United States or whether it's overseas. I think the leadership, the non-commissioned leadership, the people who are looking out for their soldiers and their sailors and their airmen, they know that there's a bond that they can tap into. And they also know that there's an expectation from the families and from the community who's not part of the unit that you are all one family. Mm-hmm. And when somebody walks up and they don't know anybody, they're a stranger, they may not have ever met an individual before, but when they walk up and they meet somebody in uniform that's a member of the same unit as their spouse or their son or their brother or sister, they know that that person represents the unit and that they're all celebrating together over the miles, whether or not they're together or whether or not they're deployed. There's a unity of purpose, a unity of community, and I think that puts it very nicely. It's those kinds of efforts that bridge those gaps.
Yeah.
It's those kinds of efforts that really make it palatable and livable when your spouse or your family member is away.
Yep. Andy, I understand. Thank you so much to you for your service to our country. Thanks for calling us today and sharing your thoughts. And I'm glad you're able to spend the holiday with your family this year and invited us to be part of that, too.
Well, I'm glad you were as well. And thank you, Ben, for all you do. And we'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure.
Take care. Bye-bye.
We'll be right back after this break. Mark, stay on the line. You've got a story to share with us. We'll be right back after this commercial.
Served in the Army, we lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free.
If you want to discuss those who serve the red, white, and blue, dial 520-751-1041. If you want to support them, start with WoundedWarriorProject.org. Now, back to the American Warrior.
And we lit up your world.
Welcome back, folks. Your host, Ben Gula Garcia. Very thankful to be here on the air. Thankful for our listeners, too, who are pitching in, making it a great story. We're talking about the military and Thanksgiving. Some of them wonderful celebrations. Some of them a little bit stark celebrations. Caller Mark is going to share a Thanksgiving military story with us. Mark, what are your thoughts?
Hey, always a great show here. And, you know, I spent about 20 years in the Air Force there as a pilot and doing some other things. And probably about half my Thanksgivings were someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
But one of them was pretty interesting because we were off flying C-141s into, you know, around the world. And we were going into Zaire on Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So, you know, you wouldn't.
Sounds good already.
Zaire, yeah, you wouldn't think Zaire, which I think changed their name again already, would be your garden spot for Thanksgiving. So, anyway, we landed the aircraft, and the very, very generous, people from the embassy staff came out and said, hey, we've got Thanksgiving dinner for you. Come on in.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, that was kind of a surprise. And so we went back to the embassy there to have a a quick Thanksgiving meal while we're out flying. And I get to the, building, and it turns out there was an old flying buddy friend of mine from here in Tucson who was there as the air attaché. So I wound up having a Thanksgiving dinner prepared by the embassy staff with an old friend, you know, halfway around the world. And you just don't expect those things to happen, but they do. And so it was pretty memorable and very nice. And, you know, we went off on our finishing our mission, but I remember that one to this day. And it was about, 1980 or whatever when it happened.
Wonderful, wonderful story. Mark, thanks for sharing with
us.
All right. Appreciate you listening and spread the word.
Yep, bye-bye.
You know, it's funny, Mark makes me think about, you read about historically, I don't want to say Thanksgiving is a uniquely United States tradition because there are other cultures that celebrate the harvest. But, we certainly have taken it to another degree. And you read about the British troops or some of these other troops that are joining our troops for Thanksgiving. I read one story about in East Germany during the Cold War. One of our soldiers was invited to a home for Thanksgiving, and they did the best they could. But he said that he ended up having chicken and potatoes drowned in sauerkraut. And that was their approximation of a Thanksgiving meal. So always be grateful for no matter what you've got, be thankful for it. Caller Dave has called American Warrior. Dave is going to share some thoughts for us Thanksgiving through Christmas. Dave, welcome to American Warrior.
Yes, sir. I remember I'm actually an Army musician for the National Guard.
Oh, wonderful.
And when I lived in Virginia back in 2007, the commander got a bright idea that the brass quintet could play Christmas parties for all the different units in the state. And every weekend between Thanksgiving and Christmas, the six of us played four Christmas concerts per weekend for four different units for their parties all the way till Christmas. And four times every weekend we had a turkey dinner.
Wow. Now, were you a brass musician by any chance, Dave?
I'm a tuba player.
Okay, so you know your lips are probably getting pretty tired by that end of that last show, huh?
Oh, yeah, traveling from Bristol to Manassas, and playing, 6 hours of travel and play again. And, it was worth it, but just to help those other units have a good Christmas season.
Well, thank you for your service, Dave. Thanks for sharing your story with us, and I hope you had a much more relaxing Thanksgiving on your lips this year. Okay. Now, interesting stories I was mentioning historically. I want to read a story appeared in a newspaper during World War II. And in the winter of 1944, this was shared by Max St. John's. In the winter of 1944, during World War II, I was in France, a platoon sergeant in the Yankee Division under General Patton. About mid-December, I received a letter from my mother back in the States. "Can you remember," she asked, "where you were on Thanksgiving Day?" Could I remember? How could I forget the odd thing that happened that day? At dawn, I was sent to check out a crossroads where an enemy strong point was suspected. Normally, I would have had my men fan out so that they could move within the cover of the trees. But just before we started out that Thanksgiving morning, I stopped. I stood stark still, arguing with myself about what I should do next. Then, going strictly against the book, I walked my men right down the middle of a road in an exposed column. No one fired at us. There's no evidence of the enemy. We found the crossroads unoccupied and turned to walk back. But then there, on the backside of the trees where only the German soldiers would have been able to see it, were signs cautioning "Minen." The woods were mined. We could have been blown to bits. Mother's letter continued. She told me about how she awakened after midnight on Thanksgiving Eve when it would have been daylight in France of that very same day. "I had a strong feeling that you're in great danger," she wrote. When I opened my Bible, a phrase in 2 Chronicles 20:17 gleamed on the page. "Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Stand ye still, stark still." Mark St. John's, sergeant in the United States Army during the Second World War. Hey, folks, we still have a little bit of time if you'd like to call in and share your stories with us. I tell you one thing I'm grateful for, and even though we're in a long, drawn-out war on terror, here at home we enjoy relative peace, good peace, I would say. But I tell you one thing I'm thankful for is the decisions made not to go to war by some of our past presidents. I want to read to you a proclamation by President Harry Truman, October 19, 1950. "In keeping with the custom established by our forefathers and hallowed by faithful observance throughout the years, it is fitting that once again at this season we set aside a day for giving thanks to God for the many blessings which he has bestowed upon us. We're deeply grateful for the bounties of our soil, for the unequal production of our mines and factories, and for all the vast resources of our beloved country, which have enabled our citizens to build a great civilization. We are thankful for the enjoyment of our personal liberties and for the loyalty of our fellow Americans. We offer fervent thanks that we are privileged to join with other countries in the work of the United Nations, which was founded to maintain peace in a troubled world and is now standing firm in upholding the principles of international justice. Contemplating these blessings with humility, we have a deepened sense of our responsibility to serve unselfishly, and we pray to Almighty God for wisdom in our relations with our fellow man. And he ends by saying, I entreat all Americans and people around the globe in church, chapel, and synagogue, in their homes, and in the busy walks of life every day and everywhere to pray for peace. Now, you might find it interesting, the reason that was so much on his mind, several days later, on this date, November 30th, 1950, only a couple weeks after he issued that proclamation, Harry Truman called a press conference, and he announced that he was prepared to authorize the use of atomic weapons in order to achieve peace in Korea. At the time of his announcement, Communist China had just joined the North Korean forces on their attacks on the United Nations troops, including our own U.S. soldiers who were trying to prevent communist expansion into South Korea. Truman blamed the Soviet Union for using communist Chinese insurgents as part of their plan to spread communism into Asia and pledged, quote, to increase our defenses to a point where we can talk, as we should always talk, with authority. The press then asked President Truman if he planned to do what he planned to do if the Chinese nationals, who were already struggling against the spread of communism in their own country, failed to get involved in the Korean conflict. Truman responded that the U.S. should take whatever steps were necessary to contain communist expansion in Korea. A reporter asked, will that include the atomic bomb? To which Truman replied, that includes every weapon that we have. Of course, Truman knew about the effects of the atomic bomb. He was the president that authorized the use of the two atomic bombs to end the war with Japan on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So he was probably one of the few people in the world that knew what he was saying and how he meant and his authority when he made those comments. By the time the Korean conflict erupted, of course, the Soviet Union also had the atomic bomb. So we were treading on some very, very dangerous ground. After affirming that the president had always had to consider the use of nuclear weaponry in every scenario involving U.S. troops, Truman went on to assure the press that day that he never wanted to see the bomb used again. It is a terrible, terrible weapon, and it should not be used on innocent men, women, and children. Truman continued that we are being hurried forward in our mastery of the atom toward yet unforeseeable peaks of destructive power when man could destroy the very structure of civilization. So that Thanksgiving, I'm thankful that President Harry Truman didn't use the bomb and didn't employ the bomb. Hey, folks, we've got a little bit of time here left. If you want to make a call, talk about your Thanksgiving, share your stories, just thank the troops. Let me share a Thanksgiving hymn with you, again from 1943, the Second World War. Another year grows calmly old, and frost is on the morning grass. The quaking asp has shed its gold, the mountain lakes lie still as glass. The fields are summer labor done, sleep in the quiet autumn sun. And the high hills in grave accord lift up their heads and thank the Lord. Nature's great calmness seems to mock the world's at war. Our boys are gone. Far off where furious armies shock and many a bloody battle dawn. Yet though our nation grimly fights this year to save her ancient rights, at least she wields a mighty sword, and for that we thank the Lord. Safety is ours, though peace is lost. Our cities know no thundering raid. Fields know no enemy but frost, and children play still unafraid. The planes that drone across our sky are friendly sentries standing by, that no invading robber horde shall waste our land, so thank the Lord. From harvest, the harvest from fields we've sown for freedom and righteous laws, for fighting power to guard our own and help our helpless neighbor's cause, for victory's slowly dawning light, and dawn it must if right is right, and dawn it must if right is right. Gather once more around the board this fateful year, and thank the Lord. Folks, I'll tell you what, I recently saw a LinkedIn post reminding me to offer congratulations to someone who had celebrated their fifth anniversary of being self-employed, and that caused me to think, you know, it's been 17 years since I've been self-employed. I'm grateful to God for giving me the tools, the patience, the courage, and the independence to venture out on my own. I'm thankful to those mentors, former bosses, other entrepreneurs who have helped me and sharpened those tools that God gave me. I'm thankful for the opportunity this nation and community given me, and I'm thankful to our advertisers, the management here at KQTH, and the American Warrior team. Silent Jim, Tony, executive producer Laura, for allowing me this opportunity over the past years to share these stories of those who inspire and have the men and women who for over 200 years have preserved and protected this experiment in democracy, who have allowed me and you and your family to enjoy this holiday. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Stay tuned for Daily Mail. We'll be right back after these commercial messages. I hope you had a very safe holiday. If you're still on the road, I hope you return to your families and our home safe as can be. Thank you so much.